Bridget's an acupuncturist, a health coach. She's married. She has a 4-year-old. She's petite. She's 4'11" and 98 pounds. She's 38 years old. And her specialty is working with women on fertility issues. So she works with helping women through natural means, through not just through acupuncture, but through diet, nutrition, and lifestyle to help them to achieve healthy pregnancies. And she's really does that, plus she runs her acupuncture business. So she's busy, and she has a 4-year-old. So since her symptom one, interesting, what is the symptom? Oh, top health concerns. Afternoon low fogginess and sugar cravings. She just mentions that she gets jittery when she doesn't eat and she needs to eat throughout the day. She gets sugar cravings in the afternoon. She has trouble falling asleep and sometimes wakes up dreaming, wakes up or having disturbed dreams and has floating stools or loose, and that's improving. The first symptom started since pregnancy, worse with opening her business, that afternoon low fogginess. So she's done some things, herbs to treat mono, used glandulars and vitamins to treat adrenals, and has had some improvement. Symptom two, again, trouble falling asleep, mostly since opening her business and increased by stress, better with calcium, magnesium, 5-HTP, better if she goes to bed at 9:30 with her son. When she gets a second wind and stays up later, then her mind goes into worry mode and processing mode. But she's hungry at bedtime and often has a scoop of almond butter. And she's actually, this is interesting, she started on Adrenochrom recently, and then she's having more waking up. Adrenochrom is a combination of calming herbs plus, so interestingly enough, Adrenochrom is actually phosphatidylserine in a cream form, along with calming herbs like lemon balm and other things like that. So it's surprising that she's waking up in a disturbed sleep and disturbed dreams after starting that. She does have an interesting thing when she has this loose stool thing. She lived in South America in 1998 and afterwards had constipation, used an at-home parasite kit but never got tested. The stools regulated. And then in 2001-2002 started having loose stools and a poor appetite with a breakup. So stress again, right? Symptoms did not resolve when the stress resolved. She did eat wheat and dairy back then and really started to improve about 2 years ago when she started cleansing and learning about nutrition. So she's given up wheat and dairy, now has kombucha, chia seeds, green smoothies, and very little wheat and dairy. So here's when you hear this. When you hear very little, you want to know what does that mean, right? For Debbie, very little wheat or gluten was probably having a little bit every day. So really looking for Bridget at going, examining how much of that she's having, and especially with an irritable bowel that needs to go away, right? And improving, looking at whether she has leaky gut is going to be another thing. So having her do some tests. She did a test in 2012. Hopefully she attached it. Let's see. Look to see if she attached it. She might have put it. No, she didn't. She didn't attach it. Darn. Right now she does self-care. She does walk. She goes to bed early. She cooks at home, and she eats organic, high-quality food. When we look at what she's eating, there's a few things that I would recommend that she look further into and also do a little bit of change to. She loves to work, but she stresses about it. Clinic ownership is definitely stressful. So on a scale of 1 to 10, she rates her stress as 6. And not on any medications. Her supplements look pretty good. EFA, vitamin C, betaine for the gallbladder and floating stool, Adrenochrom, and I don't know, I'm not sure about this Adrenocert. That might be something new because Adrenochrom is from Apex. bioglycoside fort, blood sugar in general, multi, also has a bit of glandulas. That probably has some chromium and magnesium and maybe vanadium and some of those things that help support. She does Chase tree to balance her cycle and PMS. She has potassium morning and evening and is going to start CalMag again. So if we look at what she's doing, she's attempting to address her blood sugar. She's attempting to address her adrenals, which are all good, and I'm really seeing that, so it's great. There's a few things I want to see her do. I don't have her adrenal stress index, so I can't comment on that. But let's look at her dietary habits. Remember when someone asked, I don't remember who it was, would said, not only asking what are they eating, but when are they eating it? What are their patterns? And I think with her, she's having a green smoothie or sausage. That's a big or, right? A green smoothie or sausage. I want to know what kind of sausage, but sausage is highly processed. Even if it's organic and even if it's, you know, free-range meat, it's still processed, and there's stuff added to it that probably shouldn't be eaten. So, but a green smoothie or sausage is a big deal. So we want to look at how much sugar is in her green smoothie. Is she having one of the super sweet ones, like a lot of the recipes you see, or is it more savory with just some low glycemics? That's a question I would ask. And then gluten-free toast. So this is a person that's having trouble stabilizing her blood sugar. How do we know? She gets jittery throughout the day and needs to eat regularly. And even at bedtime, she gets jittery and needs to eat. So she's having trouble maintaining her blood sugars. I would recommend she get a meter so she knows what's really happening when she feels those jittery times. Sometimes people have really high blood sugar when they're feeling jittery. And they're feeling jittery because their blood sugar is high, but there's so much insulin resistance they can't get it into their system. And other people do have the dips. So we really want to know. We want to see what her cycle is of blood sugar balance. But we know that when you start your day with carbs, you're going to have cravings throughout the day. It's going to throw off your leptin levels, throw off your cortisol levels, throw off your insulin levels. So I would say if you're going to advise her on just a couple of things that she could do, I would say have the green smoothies every day. Don't make it an or sausage. Have it every day using only the low glycemic fruits. And then instead of the gluten-free toast, have something that's got a little bit more fat and protein to it. You want to be eating something protein with good amount of protein within an hour of getting up, maybe even a half an hour of getting up. So instead of the gluten-free toast, I would encourage her to have a chia porridge with some coconut on it, maybe some hemp seeds. To really enhance the omega-3s and the protein content of the breakfast and decrease the carbs. She's thin, so we have to make sure that we don't completely take the carbs away unless it's really warranted because we don't want her to lose too much weight. So in the afternoon, she has veggies or salad, maybe avocado or meat, leftovers, sometimes a little chocolate or a tiny piece of candy because I'm so woozy. At 11:30, she's getting woozy. Okay, her blood sugars are not stable. It could be that they're going way up from the toast, and then she's plummeting, so she's over-secreting insulin. These are all the things we want to find out and ask her to track. At 3 p.m., she'll have rice cake with nut butter and jam and lemon water. Usually feel woozy from 2 p.m. to dinner, but not every day is bad. And I would say maybe it has to do with what she's eating earlier in the day. Rice cake is pretty high glycemic. Nut butter decreases the glycemic index. Jam elevates it. So if we could get her to eat a snack in the afternoon instead of the rice cakes with nut butter and jam, what about celery sticks with nut butter? Leave off the jam. Okay? A handful of nuts or seeds. Some cashew yogurt with, you know, maybe some low glycemic fruit in it. She feels like she needs to have a piece of chocolate, the same ideas as what I mentioned to Debbie, which is make your own, right? Don't use anything with sugar in it. Use the stevia or something non-sweet because that's going to cause your sugar to go up, but it's going to come plummeting down again. So, again, I want to see what her glucose numbers look like, but she's up and down, up and down, up and down, and it may be that she's over-secreting insulin and then causing these drops. And it's related to stress. So, Bridget, we'd love to see your adrenal stress index that wasn't attached. So if you can send that along, that would be great. 6:30 she has dinner, veggies and beans or meat and a whole grain. The dinner time is when the grain, if you're going to have grains, if you're going to have starches, it should be at dinner time, and make sure that it's 3 hours before. She does get hungry before bed, but she's doing a really good job of just having almond butter. It could be almond butter with celery sticks if she wanted to, and not having more carbs at bedtime so she doesn't cause a high level of insulin. Right? Some people, as of course we don't want people to eat close to bedtime, we got to get them regulated so that they're comfortable. And sometimes we have to have people have snacks in order to get them to the point where they can't, where they don't have to. And the way to do that is like she's doing with almond butter with she's having an almond butter, or she could do almond butter with celery sticks, keeping that down. So if she switches her stuff, we'd like to see how that works. If she doesn't have the carbs at breakfast, that may make her feel better at lunchtime, by the time she gets to lunchtime. Okay, so she took her temps because she's curious about thyroid. They seem to be a little low. One day average was 98.2. One day it was 98.5. Those are nothing that I would be really concerned about. If it was down in the 97s, then yeah. But it doesn't really suggest major thyroid problems. Moderately allergic to eggs. When somebody tells you that, you want to know, well, okay, how often are you eating eggs? A lot of people will continue to eat foods that they're moderately allergic to, which causes inflammation, which throws off the hormones. She's doing a great job with exercise, with outdoor time, in the sun not so much, but relaxation, meditation, no. She's drinking greens 3 times a week. We want to see if we can get her to drink greens 5-7 times a week, so gradually moving her up. If somebody's eating vegetables five times or more per week, I think that's my maximum. So I'd be asking her, are you eating them every day, every meal? Because greens are good to be eating every day, every meal. So she has great habits, no alcohol, no soft drinks, no caffeine, awesome. Sugar, though, she's eating sugar 5 or more times a week, and that's where we need to, that's her downfall at this point. And it's driven by her need to get, and her imbalance. So looking at her adrenals and addressing that, but also more looking at managing the blood sugar better by the timing, the meal timing and the constituents. She doesn't eat out much. She doesn't eat fast food. She drinks tap water a couple of times a week, probably when she's out, purified water most of the time. Sleeping 8 or more hours is 4 times a week. So we'd be asking, is this because you are having trouble falling asleep? Because it sounds like she's getting to bed in time to have it. But she has a 4-year-old. And 4-year-olds oftentimes don't sleep real well, although that's about the time when they do. But if she has a 4-year-old, it means she's been dealing with an infant, a newborn, you know, a toddler, all that. So she's probably had some sleep disruption as a result of that. That's what happens to us as moms. So let's take a quick look at her. So this was done December 20th, 2012. And her glucose is 80. Her hemoglobin A1C is 5.4. So her glucose looks great, but this says to me that she's having some high glucoses during the day, not just the low. Even though she is saying that she's feeling woozy and we think, low blood sugar, got to bring it up, at a 5.4, that's an average hemoglobin of about probably 115-ish, right? Which means that it's pretty high. We would like to see that hemoglobin A1C in the 5 range, 4.5 to 5. So it's getting up there. So she probably is having blood sugar up and down. Her BUN 14, it's okay. Her creatinine is a little bit low. We're saying, maybe some stomach acid problems, but the BUN is okay. So let's look at other things that might correlate. The BUN creatinine is high because the creatinine is low and the BUN is at the low end of the normal range. So sodium, potassium, sodium is good, but the potassium is low. That suggests some adrenal stuff. Chloride is high, again, adrenal, so it's again pointing to adrenals. The rest of these numbers are plain and they're good. Her ALKphos is low. It's a little bit better than last time she had it done. ALKphos low may suggest a B6 problem. So we want to look at the B6 status. Her liver enzymes are fine. Her serum iron is a little bit high. So now, again, we're seeing this. We'd be asking, are you supplementing? What are you taking that might be raising your iron? It could be that she's taking an iron supplement. Maybe she's taking some herbs that raise your iron, like yellow dock, something like that. So we want to look at that. And it's pretty consistent from last time to this time. Her ferritin then is at 32. For a high iron like that, that's a low ferritin. It's in the normal range, but I would expect that if her iron was that high, that her ferritin would be high. Let's look at what her hemoglobin is. Her hemoglobin, yeah, I'm going to scoot down to it. Her hemoglobin is normal, although it used to be low. Her hemoglobin, it's up at the top here, is in the normal range. And with a high iron, you would expect that, unlike Debbie's, where she had a high iron, but a low hemoglobin. But her ferritin, so a lot of the iron is floating around at a higher level than it should be and not being stored. So you'd want to be looking at what's the mechanism that stores iron into ferritin in the liver. Is there a slowdown of that particular enzyme? And that would be the investigation. I don't know. I would have to look it up. But that's the investigation that I would recommend doing, is what converts it and why is it staying in the blood and not getting stored. TIBC is good. The percent transferrin saturation is high, expected with a high iron. Her cholesterol has gone up from 105 to 143. I'm not concerned about that being too low. Her triglycerides, same thing. My normal ranges that I like to see would be between 50 and 100, or 50 and 90, actually. I think their range is a little bit tighter. 59 is low and 90 is high. It's just a small spread. HDL used to be low, and it's now 64. And if you look at HDL and triglycerides, it's almost a 1-to-1 ratio, which really is the ideal. Cholesterol ratio is good. TSH is really good. And she didn't do any other thyroid testing. So if she really wanted to look at that, that's maybe why she decided to do the temperatures to see if there's anything else going on. But those numbers are pretty good. But it could be a little on the low side. So we'd look at maybe she's got some increased conversion or something like that. But we don't know because we don't have those numbers. She also didn't do the antibodies. Vitamin D is low, right? It's 45. That needs to be brought up. I would be doing vitamin D supplementation probably in the range of, say, 5,000 a day. To see if you can bring that up. If after 3 months it doesn't go up significantly, then increase it to 10. We don't know with people. Remember we talked earlier about how different one person is to the next. But with 45, I would think that with 5,000 she should be bringing it up. But again, you want to ask her how much is she taking. If she's taking vitamin D and she's taking 5,000 and she's at 45, that's a different story than if she's not taking vitamin D and she's at 45. So those are all the questions you want to be asking people. Her total white blood cell counts were a little bit low before, but now they're normal. I'm going to make sure I'm going in the right order, actually. The August 13th, yeah, exactly. So her total white blood cells are good right now. Her RBCs are good. Her hemoglobin is okay. Hematocrit is okay. They're in normal range. MCV, a little bit high, but not much. I like to see it 89 is about the top limit. So a little bit high, so she may have some folate or B12 issues. She needs just a little bit of extra. And it always the form of folate would be 5-methyl tetrahydrofolic acid. You don't want to do folate, the synthetic, because it can actually interfere with methylation pathways. That's it. This is actually the short version of this report. The long version that you'll get will have all this, plus it'll have description of which your organ systems are implied, which things are high or low based on what you're seeing.